Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to get in the
Hump day.
Woo! Let's get it. We are officially ready to kick off another awesome edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. The month of November, gentlemen, is right upon us. Man, Christmas is right around the corner. Thanksgiving, all that fun stuff. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all of that is coming up again. But, you know, we'll have some fun, as we always do, as we get ready to kick up our shoes and just get prepared for some awesome stuff, NBA, college football, basketball, all that fun stuff, NFL playoffs. Just come around the corner. So let's get this party started, with, as always. Hopefully, Jake, you can get into the Zoom. Waiting for you, my guy. But how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. My computer is just acting stupid, man. But I'm good. I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Ready to get this party started, as always. Rob Ford, what's going on, my guy?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started, too, man. I tell you what, y'all better get y'all asparagus in before Turkey Day, man. Get that weight down before Thanksgiving.
You got to follow that, but there you
go.
My
wife threw down some amazing spaghetti squash, man. We're trying to get our weight down before Turkey Day.
Lord help us.
Yeah, but you cook it in butter.
Hmm? Shut up,
no.
Gary.
Never use butter.
That's pretty good.
Not here,
man, I can't wait to visit Gary and do some driving in the RV. I'm totally.
Oh yeah.
Kind of joking here, but you know, it's been good to get those pictures, and I did used to be a Valley Park at the Ritz-Carlton in Buckhead, so I do have that in my blood.
Ooh,
but, I'm going to have to take some serious stuff, man. But that's back in the day. But we'll come back to that, Gary, when the time comes, man. So, but
you didn't park a lot of motorhomes there, though, did you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a totally different game. My dad was a truck driver by trade, so again, that's probably in my blood too, as far as, you know, the thrill of the open road and just cars in general. So, but anyway, cars, trucks, whatever. But we'll dive on that path very, very cautiously and slowly. But anyway, let's get this party started. As we wait for JQ to join in, let me throw out the numbers to call into the show.
Naj's been hitting me up pretty constantly.
No, man, it's all good. I'm just saying it's a nice little segue. It gives you time. Really quickly, calling the show, you know the number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com, if you put in Talking Sports and 12th Man or 12th Man Sports Arena as well. Gentlemen, yeah, excited to college basketball. As we talked about, it's right around the corner, or it's literally here, excuse me. And Rick Pitino starts off. The error of the St. John starts with a win, and I guess we'll go from there, too. So, Rob, kick it off with that, my guy.
Yeah, Rick Pitino, man, 71 years old. Guy seems like he's got 9 lives, I tell you that, man. He seems to reviving himself and coming back even after some questionable situations, right? The guy can flat out coach basketball. There's no doubt about that. And I mean, even at 71, trying to revive a St. John's program that has a lot of history, You know, you go back to the 80s with, you know, Chris Mullin, you know, Mark Jackson, Malik Sealy. I mean, you've had some big-time names that come out and play in that program.
Felipe Lopez. Sorry.
Yeah, Felipe Lopez, too, man. Felipe Lopez was number one recruit in the country. And, you know, going back to Lou Cornaseca days, who the basketball arena there is named after. Obviously, they played Stony Brook. I mean, you expect them to beat them, won by 16 points on last night. They picked to be in the middle of the pack of the Big East. They're a borderline prediction to make the tournament this year. I mean, the Big East Conference is loaded. When you look at Creighton, UConn, and Marquette, all three of them predicted to be in the top 10 this year. And, of course, UConn, a defending champ. So, you know, they're predicted to be in the middle of the pack this year. But, you know, how much more can Rick Pitino give to that program at his age? We have to see. But you in New York City, man, where you got some of the best basketball players here and you out, you know, even going into New Jersey as well. So we'll see what kind of players he can get, you know, to recruit to see what he can do here, you know, in the 70s.
Don't forget about the Gary's favorite team, Rutgers, too, but we'll talk about that in a quick second.
That we all know he Googled to look up where it was.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, JQ.
Really, Rob?
We all know that. Gary is definitely the new habitual line stepper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about go Rutgers.
I know, you still got the time,
yeah.
Rob. We'll see, man.
Don't even know where Rutgers is.
I ain't paying him no mind.
Got nothing on that, JQ?
Nope.
He's like, nope. Gary, you got
it. It's too early to worry. First of all, it's too early to worry about college basketball. The second of all, I mean, when you say the name Gary, the first thing that comes to your mind is hate. So it doesn't really matter. You already know where he's coming from.
Hate is going to hate.
Wow. It's picked on Gary Day. Okay. I see how it is.
True right now. I'm just trying to do some layups.
The new habitual line stepper.
Wow. Well, you know, Rob had put the top five recruiting classes. I don't know if you want to bow out for that, JQ, or let Rob did that. I mean, what,
yep.
But that's the next topic that we've got on the agenda.
Yeah, as much as I hate the Dukies, but so far they're number one when it comes to a high school recruiting class for 2024. They have already got a commitment from the number one player in the country, Cooper Flagg from Maine, of all places. I didn't even know they played basketball up there.
You're stupid.
You know, but yeah, they got the number one recruit in the country from Maine. I mean, they got 3 5-star players already committed, Isaiah Evans, Khan Nupu, and then they got 2 4-star players already as well. So, I mean, they covered everything from every position on the floor. So, versatility, skill, bigs, shooters. I mean, they covered everything with the 5 players they have committed. And John Shire definitely doing a good job from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, they made the second round of the NCAA tournament in his first year. So we'll see what they can do. You know, I hope they lose every game. But, you know, being realistic, I don't think it's going to happen with the players they got coming in. Carolina at the number 2 spot. In Carolina, kind of going away from recruiting top-notch guys, they've been trying to go after players that are good, that can stay for 3 to 4 years. But Hubert Davis does have 2 5-star guys. They got a 5-star guy on the team this year. They got 2 coming in on next year. 2 wing players, Drake Powell and Ian Jackson. Ian Jackson from New York City area. Both of these guys can create their own shots. And then they got a big coming in who's a 4-star, and yes, James Brown, get on the good foot. He's coming to the team next year. Does it sound good? Does it feel good? Do I look good? But, yeah, James Brown is coming to North Carolina Tar Heels on next year. And the next 3 teams I'll go over quickly. Number four is Kansas. Of course, Bill Self's got a good thing going there. He's got a five-star recruit coming in, Flory, Bedunga, and a couple of four-star guys. And then also Missouri at the number four spot. And Missouri could be quite a surprise, but Dennis Gates has done a heck of a job turning that program around in a short period of time. He's already got five four-star recruits coming in next year for 2024, and he's recruiting all over the country. He's getting players from Florida to sign to come to Missouri. And so look out for that basketball program. I mean, he got Kobe Brown drafted this past year, so he did a tremendous job in his first year at Missouri and got another great class coming in. And last but not least, number five, Arizona, Tommy Lloyd. He was assistant coach for Gonzaga. He's done a tremendous job in Arizona in his first couple of years and now going into his third year. He's also got three four-star recruits coming in next year, Carter Bryant, Jamari Phillips, and Emmanuel Stephen. And they're doing a really good job recruiting the Arizona-California corridor. And he's put some really good players in the draft here the last couple of years here as well. So those are the top five so far in the early signing period.
I ain't got nothing. Good job, Rod. I appreciate you taking the time for that. Hey, let's move
Somebody's
on to the,
do,
you know. Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's move on to the college football predictions that we've got. And right out the gate, Michigan's been in there a lot of situations here, but is it going to be big game James or small game James? And, again, he still has yet to do, you know, we'll see. I don't think he's going to win this, man. This is number three, Michigan at number 10, Penn State. It's at Penn State. Does that change anything, JQ? Nah, hell nah.
Oh, you know I'm picking Penn State. Let's go Nittany Lions. I love it. but
on,
no,
man.
No, man. I want Penn State to win, but you don't know that great in this game. Small game James is going to continue to be small game James. It's going to come down to that Ohio State Michigan game at the weekend of Thanksgiving, probably. We already know. Let's stop kidding ourselves.
Even the computer like kicks you out. Like, man, I realized how crazy that pick was. It was like,
yeah, no,
like,
I had to. My computer is really tripping right now.
The computer is like,
perfect
man.
Time.
Yeah. And they want that Ohio State flag in the back.
Yeah. Well, I have to agree with JQ on this one. I'm picking Michigan. And on the road, I mean, you know, he's given him the name Little Game James. So, I mean, there's no big game James worthy here. So we got to go with Michigan mm-hmm. here on the road. Michigan hasn't played a tough schedule. But, you know, they're looking good in these teams that they're beating. So, they'll get a test. I think the game will be competitive. I think Michigan goes on the road and wins by a touchdown. I'm going to go 27-20 Michigan on the road.
I'm going with Michigan as well. But I think it's going to be maybe like a 21-17 Michigan. A little lower scoring.
I think,
and you know, the
interesting
thing about this. No, go ahead, JQ.
I was going to say the issue of it is that when you have these allegations happening, that sometimes it's going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to fold or they're going to rally around it. And a piece of me is really not happy about it because you have the ultimate, they don't believe in us, you know, kind of narrative that he can play in that locker room of. They think that you need this to win. They think we had to cheat to get here. And you can preach that narrative to those dudes, and they're going to rally behind it. And I think you're starting to see them really do that. And mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of it, but especially in this week where it's kind of bubbled up like it has, I think it's going to be a Michigan looking at it like, we told y'all we didn't need no feeling, no signs to beat these fools, and that's going to be a problem for James.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about this game here, Penn State actually has more elite talent as far as pro prospects than Michigan here too. I mean, yeah, I know Michigan's got J.J. McCarthy, but, you know, Penn State has got Alu Fashanu, offensive tackle, expected to be a top 10 pick in the draft. Chop Robinson, Kalen King, all three of those guys expect to be first-round draft picks for Michigan. Right, as of right now, only has J.J. McCarthy. So when you look at it from a talent perspective, but obviously the quarterback is a big difference, right? But Michigan's got a good offensive line. They got a good defensive line, top to bottom too. Blake Corum at the running back position. Their skill positions are still questionable. So we'll see, you know, what kind of production they can have against Kalen King at the cornerback position. But I still like Michigan, but, you know, top-level talent. Seems like Penn State has an edge.
Wait a minute. So y'all sat here and watched this whole thing with Dre wearing that hat with that crazy-ass hair, and didn't nobody say nothing on the call? Why do I always have to join the call and say something about it when I see it on the video? What the hell is that? Did they get us like the first 10,000 people? Was that like a party? No,
God. You had that
hat on last week, OJ? I wasn't on the video. See, the thing is, I wasn't on the video and didn't nobody say nothing. And I get on here and I just like, okay, let's just go with that. And I'm like, what the hell is that?
He's always wanted blonde hair, Dickie. He's always wanted blonde hair.
That's what I'm saying. Why aren't y'all talking about these things? Oh, okay, yeah. All right, I got you.
But I'll have to laugh.
It takes me to get on the call and bring it up. No, you take that shit outside and you burn it.
Nah, man, this is part of my
this is why we need a Facebook Live so all our viewers can see you in your crazy hat right now.
Well, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
You're going to wear that when Georgia Tech plays Georgia?
Yeah, probably. But actually, you know what's funny? I got a Georgia Tech hat, but I thought this was more, you know, I was having fun, man. It kind of matched, you know, my mood. I was feeling kind of fiery, man. So, you know, why not, man? So that's why I went with that, man. So, you know.
Man, listen, we're going to have another separate conversation because you have been on one the past 3 weeks. And here you go talking about the matching your mood. I don't know what you have happening over there, brother. For me, you're going to have to drink and have a conversation.
Bro, man. Hey, man. I've had a busy month of October, busy month of November. No complaints. So I deserve all of this, man. There's
okay.
Alcohol in the back. I've been having some fun, man. This is what I do, man. So it's all good.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go to the next thing.
On the straight JQ and Sack It Up. And so Gary and Rob had a straight face, too. They jumped on. They're like, man, Dre's winning. They didn't say nothing. And I was waiting for you to pop, but I knew you were going to say something. I was like, man, JQ wasn't saying, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? I'm sorry. Go to the next thing. I didn't mean to derail the show.
I said something last week. It didn't bother me this week for some reason.
Yeah, so yeah, just make it again next week again. We'll keep it going.
Crazy.
So, number 18, Utah, number 5, Washington. You know, obviously Washington, you know, they're trying to come back here. Rob, you know, Michael Pitts Jr., you know, again, the quarterback. That's my quarterback. Let's go. What we got, man?
Hey, I'm going Washington at home here. And, yeah, I'm going to go Washington. I think they win by at least 10 points.
It's coming down because Washington play Oregon again, won't they, in the Pac-12 championship if it all ends up the way it's supposed to end up? Yeah, I think they both have those games circled. I'm going to go Michael Penix, and I feel like he's going to win the Heisman. It's going to be, to me, I think it's between him and Jordan Travis.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think Jordan Travis got
a shot. I don't think it's going to be a big blowout, but I think Washington's going to win.
You don't think it's going to be a blowout, Gary? You don't think it's going to be a blowout, though?
No.
Utah defense is good enough to keep it from being a blowout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably respectable, like within 10 points, Rob. That's a good call. We got a really close game here, or really close in the standings here. Number 13, Tennessee at number 14, Missouri. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I was really surprised at how well Missouri was able to run the ball on that Georgia defense last week. I mean, especially around the left edge there. And I think they're going to have similar success, Missouri team. I think they're going to beat Tennessee. I think it's going to be somewhat of a shootout. I'm going to go 34-31, Missouri at home.
Okay.
I'm going to take Missouri, one, because it's in Columbia, and two, I believe Tennessee plays Georgia next week, and you have Tennessee looking ahead to that big game against Georgia because people still don't take Missouri seriously in the SEC. And they got a good team. They have a fantastic field goal kicker on the low, and if it's a close game, then you slide it to meet to Missouri. That dude can hit 50-yard field goals, and I think he's probably going to be due for one or two of those in this game. So I'm going to go with Missouri and just having to close him.
Yeah. Missouri might have one of the best wide receivers in the country. He's not draft eligible. He's only a sophomore. But, yeah, he's a number one wide receiver out of high school a couple of years ago out of the St. Louis area. And, look for his name to be in the top 10, top 15 in the draft next year.
He's
2025 draft, that is.
Why did
you go to Missouri?
I also picked Missouri, Matt.
What did you say? He's a pothead. What did you say?
You want to stay home, man.
No, if you want to win or you want to stay home, like, you're going to get enough money if you're the number one recruit to see your family. They can come to the game. It's NIL, baby. It's not like back in the day. Like, come on, man. I want to win. I don't want to be a mid-level, you know, go to the damn Outback Bowl as the third or fourth best team in the SEC or the Gator Bowl. Like, I want to go play in the big bowl. If you're that good, no, I'm not going to Missouri, bro. I you can love Missouri all you want at the state. I want to go win.
I want winners.
Man, I'm just saying, I
want to win. Missouri's having that Iowa situation, too. Like, no one gonna, any brothers going to Iowa. Missouri, you know, that's hilarious.
No, Missouri ain't that bad. Missouri ain't that bad.
Yeah, I know.
I give them St.
No.
Louis. They ain't that bad.
No, but,
yeah. Yeah.
Missouri's got St. Louis and Kansas City, so.
It's like a little.
Right.
They're like, the crossroads. Man, my barber shop, got my barber. Back today, Joker had a gold tooth. That dude was like, that was my dude, man. He was from Missouri, you know. He, man, it was hilarious, man. He was living all of that, man.
St. Louis, stand up.
That's right. Let's wrap this up with number 9, Ole Miss at number 2, Georgia. What does Lane Kiffin have under his sleeve? Absolutely, take it, man.
This will be Georgia.
I wish these people would stop this shit. Like, oh, Kentucky's going to come in and ask them to do something. No, the hell they ain't. Oh, Missouri going to know the hell they ain't. If y'all don't stop this again, it's all well and good to want to see the Bulldog get knocked off the block. Everybody wants to see Georgia get knocked off the block. Everybody wants to see Alabama get knocked off the block. But until I see somebody consistently do it to one of these teams, hard pass. And that Ole Miss defense is terrible. Yeah, Georgia is going to go ahead and just put one on Ole Miss this weekend. And it's going to help them in the standings because it's another ranked team, a top 10 team.
Yep.
But if there's, I mean, Georgia would have
might
to be more
than one after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I think they beat Ole Miss by at least 10 points, too.
I'd say 17.
We all in the same agreement. All right, so those are the top 10 teams in college football. Go ahead. I don't know if you want to take this, man, because, Gary, you want to start off with that, my guy, or no?
Well, I got Rutgers in the number 1 spot.
Who's that?
She was waiting for that.
Yeah, right. Let's see. I got Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, the Huskies, even though I think Oregon is a better team. I got Oregon in the next spot. Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Penn State, number 10 spot.
Right. Yeah, my thing is I don't think it really matters once you get to – because I don't trust Texas. They're fraudulent. I really think it stops at – where's Alabama this week in the college football and the last prediction?
Like, let's see.
7 or something or 8.
They are – Alabama's number 8.
Number 8.
Okay, so I would take your top 6 and I would slide Alabama to number 7. And then I would say, who gives a damn after that?
Oh, man. Well, I as well have Ohio State number 1. You know, I still think overall, I mean, they got 2 quality wins. I know Notre Dame has got 3 losses, but Notre Dame's probably the toughest schedule in the country. I mean, assuming every week they're playing a ranked opponent, you bound them in some of those games. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
They're playing an extremely tough schedule. They got Notre Dame and Penn State. They won at Notre Dame. I don't think Washington is getting enough love. I don't think, you know, I don't know if Washington will win a national championship, but when you look at their schedule that they've played so far and at Pac-12, I got Washington number 2 right now. When you look at the schedule that they have played with the Pac-12 conference, I have Georgia number 3, but Georgia's got an opportunity to move up with Ole Miss to win this week. And if they win this week, they'll probably move up to my number 1, you know, beating Ole Miss. I got Florida State number 4. Michigan still hasn't played anybody, man. They playing Iona. They playing Stony Brook.
I mean,
not Stony Brook.
So until I see them beat Penn State and Ohio State, then I'll move them up to the top. But right now, I got them at number five. I got Alabama number six. I got them the highest ranked number one loss team. When you look at their schedule, too, beating Ole Miss, beating Tennessee, beating LSU. So, I mean, when you look at the schedule that they have played, they won losses to Texas as well. And they seem to be getting better as the season has gone along, too. So I got them as the highest ranked one loss team at number six. I got Texas at number seven. I got Ole Miss at number eight. I got Oregon 9, and I got Louisville number 10. Penn State is the one loss team I have left out.
You got Oregon at number 8?
Damn. Yep.
Oh, damn, yeah. Hell no, Rob. Come on, man. They lost by a field goal on the road to the team, to Washington, in a really, it's probably the best game of the year. You got to give Oregon a little bit more love than that, man. Come on, Bo Nix. Listen, I have clown Bo Nix. But Bo Nix is playing fantastic football, and so is that Oregon team. That's
sure
the team I don't think anybody really wants to play right now. You got to give them a little more love than that, bro. Come on, dog.
Their remaining schedule will give – they will have the opportunity to move up in the rankings with their remaining schedule.
They will.
The Pac-12 championship game and they will beat Oregon State, who's a really good team as well this year. They win those games, they will easily move up in the rankings.
What about Oregon that you don't like, that everybody else likes, but you have them at eight?
Well, I personally think Alabama and Texas have played a tougher schedule than Oregon so far.
So I might give you Alabama, but there's no way on a neutral field you take Texas over Oregon tomorrow.
Not with Malik Murphy. Maybe with Quinn Ewers, Texas has
yeah, okay. I was like, come on. Alabama's a toss-up, but you definitely take Oregon over Texas on a neutral field. So that's why I was like, that's tough, boy. I don't know about for Oregon. He said, F you, Gary.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Gary was even trying to say that. All right.
Gary said he's a Miami Hurricanes fan. He don't even claim Oregon.
That is not true. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to derail it, Dre.
Oh, I root for Oregon. I mean, they're not really my team. I'm from here, or I'm from there. But, yeah, Miami's my team, but they're no factor in anything anymore.
Sigh, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. There's some teams that you want to
I came this
to
close to going to Miami Florida State game this Saturday, too, in Tallahassee.
Ooh.
But not going.
Oh, that's only a four-hour drive to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this how a 12-team playoff might look right now. Go ahead. Rob.
I don't know. I didn't look at that shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So.
Or I don't know. Yeah, no, you can start. I don't know if you want to start. Yeah.
Right now, based on the college football playoff, you know, Alabama is the number 8 seed and Ole Miss is the 9. So you have an SEC matchup. The winner will play Ohio State. And Michigan, even though they're number 3 in the college football playoff, the top 4 – as the conference champion. So right now they would have Ohio State as the conference champion. So Michigan would actually be a 5 in this scenario, and they would have to play Tulane, the 12 seed, and the winner of that would be Washington, the 4 seed. And number 6,
I'd rather be fucking Michigan. Sorry, go ahead.
You still rather have that bye.
No. Hell no. I'd rather play Tulane. And who was the next team under that?
The winner of that play Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd rather have Tulane and Washington have to play Alabama. Dangerous ass coming out the bye. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, no.
Hey, Oregon number 6 against Louisville number 11. The winner of that will get Florida State. And number 7, Texas against number 10, Penn State. The winner of that will get Georgia at number 2 spot. Fun to think
about.
How you
going to be number 1 and have the toughest play?
Hmm?
Number 1 would have the toughest slate. Nobody wants to play Alabama in that second round. Nobody. Not even the top 4 teams won't play Alabama in that second round. Then you could say what you want to say. No, they would. Come on. You wouldn't.
So
you're
saying,
you wouldn't.
You saying Ole Miss don't have a chance?
No, a snowball's chance in hell.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Not a snowball's chance in hell.
Oh, man.
Rob, I can't believe you said that with a straight face. No, they don't have a chance. They wouldn't have a chance.
not a chance. All the Vegas money going bam. I felt like, man, Tulane? I'm sorry, Tulane. That's not the spirit of Tulane. But if you look at the cost of it, if you're a top four or five team, you said, man, your opponent is Tulane, you're going to be sitting like, yes. Or Louisville? Yes. 100%.
Tulane, but you ass in that Cotton Bowl last year.
Stop that.
That's funny.
USC can't stop us from scoring a touchdown. They can play 11-on-5 for that field score.
11-on-4, they can't.
That's true. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
That's all we got? That's all you got?
I mean, I think that speaks for itself. I mean, I think everybody else would love to draw except for Ohio State. They're like, well, I guess we got to take the hardest road. That'd be crazy. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting next year. Having those top 12 teams in there, I told you before, I only wanted to go to 6. I don't feel like every Saturday matters as much if you get 12 of them, because you can get a loss, you can get 2 losses and still get in. If you're a blue blood, mm-hmm. and you play enough good teams, given that how the SEC is going to get favored through the strength of schedule, and then the top heaviness of the Big Ten. So you're going to get in. It just takes a little bit to me away from it. As fans, we're going to care every Saturday, but in terms of getting into the playoffs, You have a lot more margin for error in a 12-team scenario versus a 4 or 6. That's my only thing about it.
I like it. I like to expand the playoff format.
I think it'll be very interesting.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. You look at the 6-11, the Oregon-Louisville matchup. Obviously, I will pick Oregon in that matchup. Florida State against Oregon. Who would y'all pick if that was to happen? The 3 and the 6 matchup.
That is
tight.
That's a good matchup.
That's a fantastic match. Because I tell you what, Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman, we talk a lot about Marvin Harrison, but Malcolm McCord is not Jordan Travis. Those two together are an absolute problem. And their defense is playing good. They're playing old-school Florida State defense. I'm sorry, Gary. I'm not trying to be funny. But I think I would take Florida State in a really close game. I just like Florida State's defense a little bit more. I think both offenses are potent, but that Florida State defense has been really for real this year.
Yeah, that's definitely an entertaining, tough matchup. Yeah, Keon Coleman is a top 10 pick. Jared Verse, defensive end from Florida State. He's more looking on the top 15 right now. So, yeah, you got a couple of high draft picks on that team right there. Yeah.
Bo Nix is having a good year. That Florida State defense is actually, I've watched Florida State a couple of times here, being in the Southeast, we get a lot of that regional coverage. That Florida State defense is pretty good. And I think they're the equalizer in that game.
Okay, what's up? I'm just giving you a hard time. You talk about quarterbacks and stuff like that, too. So it's all good.
Jordan Travis is good, though. So it's not like it's a big margin between Bo Nix and Jordan Travis.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one's a little bit more experienced, you know, because he's like almost a 12th-year senior, but it's all good. So keep it going.
And there's a reason why he's in the 12th year and he's still in college. So that tells you all you need to know.
Are we done with the predictions here?
Yep, I think you covered all of them.
Yeah, are you good, my guy?
No, yeah, we're good. I would probably take Florida State in that matchup as well. I think it would be a good matchup. I think it's one of those games that would probably be down to the end, late into the fourth quarter. And, you know, one mistake, one turnover, one, you know, hold that team, the 3 and out, whatever. You know, that would be what would, you know, unless there was some big special team play or something like that, that would probably be what would determine that game. I think it'd be a great matchup. I'd like to see it.
I think that's what's going to make that 12-team playoff exciting next year, too. I think you're going to see those kind of matchups that you're not used to seeing all the time, too. You know, competing for a championship, right? So I think it's going to be entertaining.
But you know what's going to be wild about that next year is that I don't really trust the Cal McCord, but in that instance, J.J. McCarthy is probably gone. Michael Penix is gone. Bo Nix is gone. I think George Charles is a junior, isn't he? He's probably gone.
Yeah.
So it makes it more interesting to see the quarterback play in this scenario next year that we're going to get anyway. It's going to be really interesting to see how that comes down because, you know, quarterbacks are, you know, that's just where we are with the way they set up the rules now. But to have all those guys be gone, right, in the first era of the 12-team playoff is going to be a little wild.
Yeah, this would have been year to have it because the quarterback class is loaded this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, let's keep this moving here. We're going to talk about the top five teams. We know that Rob purposely left it off last week because he didn't want to hear anything about certain squads, but it's a different situation going into this week.
Y'all going to make another excuse for him.
No excuses. Number one, I've got the Eagles at 8-1. Obviously, we'll talk about their challenges, you know, losing, to Kobe Dean. That's a huge blow for the defense. He's obviously the signal caller. And obviously, I think Cunningham came in and performed pretty well. But that's still going to be a hit. Especially, it's going to be interesting as they start playing the Chiefs on the 20. That's going to be a big game to see what that's going to happen. Is that a Super Bowl preview? I don't know. We'll see.
The next four games are ridiculously good.
Yeah. So it's going to be a nice little test for the Eagles. Obviously, it's happened to Jalen Hurts. You know, him going, getting hit. I know, obviously, that's something that Gary's happy about. But right now, they're still holding strong in that position at 8-1 at the current juncture. Number two, I've got the Ravens at 7-2. After mud stomping the Seahawks, they wrote off Geno, you got it right back now, bro, because you done got your ass kicked, man. So, that was a mud stomping, if you will, too.
The Ravens mud stomping everybody, seems like, right now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that Todd Monken's doing a good job of calling, just putting Jackson in a good position to make plays.
Mike
Zubala on the sidelines. You talk about a good situation, too. But we'll see. Like I said, Gary thinks they're peaking early. I think they ride on schedule, man. So that's kind of, we're at a good point in the season.
I hope you're right.
But, I like that. I got the Chiefs, like I said, number three. Chiefs handling Miami. The thing about Miami seems like they're kind of a finesse team, if you will, right now, because most of their losses are to a lot of physical teams, So, again, we're not sure who Miami is. They got a lot of speed, as you know about, but whenever they start getting physical, people start out-physicaling them, they start getting handled. So, again, they're not in my top 10 in this particular – or top 5, excuse me. Number four, Rob's almost second favorite team. I've got the Jaguars, 6-2. Their only losses have been to the Chiefs and, the Texans. We'll talk about C.J. Stroud. But they did beat the Lions, and I got the Lions at number five at 6-2 as far as my top five right now. So I'm going to give it – I'm going to mention the Bengals, too, at 5-3, but that's what I've got right now. So.
I got the exact same five and exact same order. I came close to the Ravens number one. I really did, but I still –
They are number one.
Yeah, I came close, but I got the exact same five as Andre. The Eagles one, Ravens two, Chiefs three, Jaguars four, Lions five. But I came close. I didn't put the Ravens there
close.
Yet, but I did come close.
Yeah.
I also have the same five. Yeah.
What you doing, JQ? You protesting?
Y'all on the Bengals who won four straight games here and in the top five. They ain't number five. They not number five. They wouldn't beat the Lions on the neutral field if you had to put money on it. And you will put money on the Ravens to beat the Eagles on the neutral field tomorrow. The Ravens would beat the Eagles on a neutral field tomorrow, and you know it. I know the record says what it says, but the Ravens are playing the best football right now.
We said it was close. We said it was close. I'm on my record.
That Ravens defense, listen, I hate the damn Baltimore Ravens, and I hope everything bad happens to them. But if we're being objective about the top five, they are playing the best football right now, and if they had to play the Eagles on Sunday, they would win that game. By at least
I know every
touchdown.
Time JQ does that, the team loses, right?
That's not true. That's not true because you did it last time with the Lions. They got their ass whipped by those same Ravens. So how about that, sir?
I'm
honorable mention with the Bengals too. I did give an honorable mention.
I know
you
kept
going. I mean,
did
it
every week
with
the 49ers, and they just kept losing.
Okay, so I'm gonna go the Ravens, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Jaguars.
Wow. Okay. I'm not mad. I gave the Bengals honorable mention, too.
The Bengals on the way back. I would agree with that. I mean,
they won four games in a row.
They're on their way back, for sure. I know they're in the seventh spot in the AFC. I don't think they're going to win the division because the Ravens look like they got a – I don't know if the Ravens are going to relinquish that lead. But, you know, I think the Bengals definitely move up to that number five spot.
We're going to find out about the Ravens, and this is where we're going to find out if they win the division. They play Cleveland on Sunday. They play the Bengals the weekend after that. They can either come back to the pack or they can put the division in the way. We're going to find out in the next 2 weeks whether the Ravens,
five?
To your point, win the division.
Yeah, I hope
who's
it's the Bengals.
Five again?
I mean, yeah.
Ravens. Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
Eagles.
Okay.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Bengals.
Okay.
Jaguars.
Okay. Jaguars have a five-game win streak. So, you know, again, that's going to – you might as well just, like, put that on the thing. Now, so.
If the Bengals play the Jaguars tomorrow, who would you pick?
Doesn't matter, man. They got a five. By your same logic, you said that they've won four. The Jaguars have won five. What you gonna say about that? They have won five. And I got the top five. The Ravens have won four. And I put up number one. And look at the Vikings. They won four straight games too, man. So what are we gonna say about the Vikings, man? Come on. What about them? Okay, so do you have the Vikings being any of those top five tomorrow?
If you had to bet your hat on it, would you do it?
Shut up. Stop talking about my hat. Damn it.
You ain't giving up that blind hair, man.
I'm just saying, man, 4 weeks, man, they won four wins, man, even though it's against the damn-ass Falcons. But it's all good. I'm just seeing that logic.
I'm just saying, I name teams that you know. Listen, Detroit is there, but when you get whooped like that, that's tough.
Yeah,
right? Seahawks didn't whoop like that. That's tough. And that Eagles defense, even before Dean got hurt, looked very susceptible. Like, that's due for what? 374 goddamn yards on them? Like, they can be had. So if the Ravens play them tomorrow, I think the Ravens win that game. I think it's close. It's not like the Ravens are losing the balance better than the Eagles.
Yeah. No one's arguing your point, JQ. I mean, we're just like, I just put it out there, like I said, right now, again, they've been the top NFL. But I'm with you, like I said, you know, again, They've been winning. They've been winning the games. I don't know, the freaking loss to the Jets was the freaking anomaly in that situation. But damn, every challenge they've actually come and they've won all that, you know. So that's all you can say. So we'll see. They've won every game that's been put there. They are going to get challenged, though. This is going to be Ravens probably will be number one next week if all goes well, man. So we'll keep that going for sure. Yes, go ahead. Are you done? Anything else? You done derailed me.
Yeah, no, I'm done starting to pot. But what is hilarious is that the Chiefs are winning games. We all have them number three, but their playmakers look awful. The Chiefs defense is playing much better than we've seen them play in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But you just can't just write the Chiefs in right now. And it's amazing we just give it only because of Patrick Mahomes. We give them the benefit of the doubt. But without Patrick Mahomes, if they just had another quarterback that was good but not him, they wouldn't even be at three. Being honest.
They wouldn't even be a top five, maybe.
I mean, you look at I didn't think the Dolphins' defense, I thought, played fairly well in that game. The Chiefs just did a phenomenal job stopping the Dolphins' offense. I mean, they held Travis Kelce in check in that game. I think
physical.
He only had a couple of catches. Rashee Rice is becoming their number two weapon. I mean, they're lacking weapons on the perimeter big time in Kansas City.
They're going to address that in the offseason for sure. We got to get some wide receiver tryouts, man. Make something happen. This is a disgrace, man. So I don't even know. Let's talk about C.J. Stroud, Ohio State stand up. Good job for you, JQ. I'll let you kind of take this one, man. Literally on that week in the victory over the Buccaneers, threw for 470 yards, 5 touchdowns. Tank Dell, man, just a great combination to see him kind of coming into his own. And it's good to see a situation like if they get – C.J. Stroud has been pretty much he's coming looking like one of the better quarterbacks, you know, so far, outplaying Bryce Young for sure. And we'll talk about maybe the coaching staff of that too, man. But just I'm a big fan of DeMarco Ryan, what he's been doing in Houston. You know, I'm kind of a fan, kind of like outside. I want to see him be successful, but – it looks like he's pushing all the right buttons. They got freaking Will Anderson. So this is a very interesting ascending team. You got the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there have been some really other – I was looking at his comps as far as some quarterbacks that played well in their rookie season, and you don't want to follow a couple trends. You know, Zach Prescott was on there, how he did really well. but he had a very young Ezekiel Elliott. He had, you know, then at the time he had, you know, Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, and Jason.
He had a great offensive line.
So, yeah,
too,
great offensive line.
Yeah, the best offensive line.
Then he had Baker Mayfield had a great start. RG3 had an incredible start with, you know, with Washington and Shanahan at the time. You know, just a great offense. And you talk about how he's been commanding things. You talk about Cam Newton that was just running over the league. Justin Herbert had a dazzling start. And then, believe it or not, Russell Wilson at the time got overlooked because he had a Legion of Boom at Seattle. And, you know, you kind of talk about, you know, that time I think he had Cam Chancellor, you know, Earl Thomas, you know, just that great, great defense that was able to solve him. So, you know, you had an interesting situation as far as what's happening. And right now I think in spite of all of that, we did not expect C.J. Stroud to be playing this well with what you had from Houston because they were pretty terrible last year. And for him to come in and actually have them on this nice trajectory, it's a shout-out to C.J. Stroud. Go ahead, Jakey. I didn't mean to take all that time.
Yeah, and also, you know, don't forget about Nico Collins out there, old Michigan ass. He's got a good rapport with. And quietly, going into the offseason, I was like, why would Dalton Schultz lead the Cowboys, who are permanently going to the damn playoffs, to go to the damn Texans? But quietly, I don't know what he and CJ have happening in mind. They must be going to services on Sunday morning before they go to the game. But Dalton Schultz is his homeboy. He finds Dalton Schultz early and often in the game. But when you have a young quarterback, and if you can't run the ball, and that's the thing about Houston, they really can't run the ball, and that's going to hurt them against a good team. Is that you give him a good tight end. You run the ball and you take those check downs in that middle of that field with a good tight end, and Dalton Schultz is really having a good year with CJ. So they've developed the chemistry pretty quickly. So, yeah, shout out to CJ. I hope he sucks this week in Cincinnati, but I'm glad to see him do well. But, yeah, I saw a stat, and I didn't look up to see if it was correct. I think it says CJ has more touchdown passes through this portion of his rookie year than Kenny Pickett has in his whole career with Pittsburgh. I said, damn.
That's a fact.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw the same thing.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, he's got 14 touchdown passes already this season and only one INT. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really look at it, he so far, I mean, I know Houston, I think, has played 8 games so far this year. I think they already had their bye week, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I think they're 4-4. If you look at it, it's half a season worth of work so far. You have to go back to maybe Dan Marino, senior quarterback with this kind of production in his rookie season. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to talk about early 80s. I think 83 was Marino's. I mean, he's completing 62% of his passes, got 2,270 yards, 14 touchdowns, only one INT. His offensive line is not that great. JQ mentioned it earlier. He don't have a great running game either. And Nico Collins. Tank Dell was an interesting prospect coming out of Houston. I mean, you knew he had the talent and he had the speed, and the only reason he went in the mid-rounds is because of his height, right?
He's so short.
He's only 5'8", but, you know, he's turning out to be a steal for them in the draft as well. So you look at this Texans draft, what they got with Tank Dell, what they got with Stroud, obviously, Will Anderson. And you see that Stroud is clearly the offensive rookie of the year so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
But so far they've certainly hit the jackpot there.
Okay, Arthur Smith is kicking my ass, man. Damn, Arthur Smith. Sorry. Freaking PTSD.
Yeah, when I saw
hey,
you know the
Andre, there's one good
tonight.
Thing we can look at is. Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
I said when I saw the topic tonight,
that top.
And I saw number 7. C.J. Stroud, and I started looking up his stats. I'm like, damn, that guy's having a fantastic year. Because I knew they didn't have an offensive line. I knew they didn't have a running game. But I hadn't really been paying attention. And, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So far, he's the best.
Yeah, if you really look at it, he's not only one of the best, he's so far probably putting up top 10 quarterback numbers as a rookie.
And what does it say? They couldn't score against Carolina, which is the wildest shit ever. They couldn't score against Carolina. They just beat the brakes off Tampa, just up and down the field. Noah Brown, another Buckeye, with a couple of touchdown passes in that game as well. But it's like, how did you struggle with Carolina and then just go do that to Tampa? Like, okay, sure.
Tampa's
got a lot of
defense, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I guess there's one good thing for Andre and I as Falcons and Saints fans. guess we got to be happy the Panthers took Bryce Young over CJ Stroud in our own division.
It's early.
I know it's only
early.
Half a season,
it's
but
early. Yeah. I still have high hopes for Bryce Young. I think he's too talented. I think unfortunately he's just they're not put in good positions to be successful. But we'll see how that plays out. Right now, I still like his ceiling actually for Bryce Young. We got about 10 minutes here. I want to make sure that we get through a couple topics here. A little early. We have a ton of topics to discuss, and I don't know if we're going too much on the OT, but is there anything you specifically want to talk about? Do you want to hit the NFL predictions, if you will, or anything specifically you want to hit? So let's hit that, and then we'll see what we have left after that. So right to the predictions, and the first game is, speaking of C.J. Stroud and speaking of the resurgent Bengals, we got the Texans at the Bengals. I think that, you know, Joe Burrow has been playing lights out, obviously, with his mobility. He shouldn't have any problems with the Texans. I do expect, C.J. Stroud to play well, but he's not going to play well enough. So the Bengals should definitely handle business for sure, especially at home.
I think that seven-point spread is too much. I think the Bengals win by three or four. I think the Bengals catch a break. I think Will Anderson got hurt in that game against Tampa, and he's still questionable for the game against Cincinnati. And Derek Stingley is not going to be activated in enough time to come back and play cornerback against the Bengals. And that's big, because if you put him out there and Jamar Chase doesn't play, then I might almost have to take Houston in that game. But if you keep Stingley off and you keep Will Anderson out of that game, I think the Bengals find a way to still win, because the Texans just can't run the ball. And that's going to be the problem. Yeah. I think that's the difference in the game. The Texans can't run the ball.
Yeah, I actually like the Bengals more than 3 to 4 points. In this game, I see them winning like 27-17 in this game. I like the Bengals a little bit more. I think they're trending back in the right direction the way they've been playing in the last couple of years. Houston is a great story. I think they're going to be competitive in a lot of games this year, but they won't be able to compete with the elite teams like the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals win this game by 10 points at home.
Yeah, Bengals are a playoff team, or they will be a playoff team. They're on a roll right now, and this will be a good test for them, but I still think it's a 10-point win by the Bengals when it's all said and done.
My worry is the fact that they may be looking forward to the Ravens next week.
That's what I was going to say.
And if you lose this game and you lose to the Ravens, you end up 5-5, and then we have these same conversations about them, slow starts, or these playoff teams. So that's what gives me a little trepidation about it being a blowout.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Too mature for that, man.
They just seem focused. They just seem ready.
I'm with you, JQ. You're hoping to overlook in that game too, because it is the Texans. They may be like, yeah, but it's the NFL, so there's definitely no Stony Brooks in or Iona's on the schedule for sure. Next we got.
I didn't think those schools have football programs, right?
They don't. That's why I'm so laughing.
Got the Saints and, damn it, Joshua Dobbs, that didn't even know the names of the receivers he was throwing to and still beat up. What a great story. This is a tough one to call, man, because, the Vikings defense is playing well. We know that the Saints have been having problems scoring. And now again, Joshua Dobbs, shit, man, he's been playing well, man. I don't even know what to say, man. In this instance, this is a tough one for me, man. I'll let you go with Rob and kind of talk about your thoughts about this one, man.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm struggling to predict it. I mean, obviously, you all know who I want to win. There's no secret to that, right?
Right.
Obviously, I want the Saints to win, but as far as picking who I think is going to win the game, I'm struggling with it. I mean, obviously, the Saints the last couple of weeks. Using Taysom Hill a lot more in the red zone has been really effective for them. But the Saints struggle in Minnesota, man. I mean, I think in their history, they're 4-14. That's been a tough place.
Yeah.
Tough place for them to go on the road. Both of these teams are 5-4. Vikings on a 4-game winning streak. Saints on a 2-game winning streak. But this has always been a tough place for the Saints to play. And I want the Saints to win. I hope I'm wrong with this prediction, but I'm going to predict a Vikings 23-20 win over the Saints in the competitive game. I hope I'm wrong.
gonna tell you
thinking about going to the game too.
I know you are, Joe Flying Ass. I'm gonna take the Saints for a couple reasons. I'm gonna take the Saints for Marshawn Lattimore not having to worry about Justin Jefferson, and while Addison is good, he's not Justin Jefferson. Okay, and I still like the Saints defense, and what I also like is the fact that they just had to face Padgett for the Bears, and I watched that game. I said, "What are you doing, New Orleans? Why are you letting this dude run all over y'all on these second and third downs, just breaking up the middle on them?" But the thing about it is that prepares them this week for Joshua Dobbs. And if you don't think the Saints defense, if they ain't doing it, the defensive coordinator and all those assistants, this gets them in a room and makes them watch that tape and embarrass them by how that dude is breaking on the second and third downs. Did you go let him do that? What you going to do this week against Joshua Dobbs? I think that's all you got to do is show them that tape for that and get their attention on that and say, hey, there's no Cam Akers now. He tore his Achilles. So Madison is okay, but he's not great. Akers is the one that had the game-breaking speed. If you can keep Dobbs in the pocket and make him throw that ball, which the defense the Saints have, I feel like they can still win that game. So I'm going to take the Saints in a close game. I think they win by three.
Yeah, you know, one thing I didn't point out, I mean, that's a good point, JQ. The Saints defense, one of their weaknesses is they struggle with running quarterbacks. And for some reason, under Dennis Allen, that's just been a weakness of theirs, is defending quarterbacks that are mobile. I mean, for some reason, he don't like having a spy on a quarterback. And, I mean, like, what do you do? I mean, thankfully, like I said, they were able to force the young quarterback into a lot of turnovers in that game. And, they won the game. But, yeah, for some reason, that's what scares me about the Joshua Dobbs thing, is that they, for some reason, they struggle against quarterbacks that are mobile. But I think the Saints definitely have a shot to go up there and win. But I know historically they've struggled in Minnesota. So hopefully we finally get one up there.
I think playing Dallas the week before helps.
Here lately I've been so horrible with my picks that in this particular game, I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. I think it's going to be – I'm picking New Orleans in the game, and I think it's going to be like a 17-13 game. So I'm picking New Orleans, 17-13, and I hope my bad luck rubs off on Rob.
Wow. Man. Wait a second.
No,
I
was picking.
Put you the head lock.
I was picking the Vikings only because of, it's pretty much a tough pick and call for sure. So let's hit the 2-minute thing, Rob, and let's get ready for the OT here. So it's not
all
like
right,
we do this thing.
There it is.
Okay.
We are wrapping up the live portion of our show. We're going to have a OT portion here, so if you're going to listen to the rest of the show, click on the same link on tomorrow or the rest of the week. But our next live edition is going to be on next Wednesday night, people. Next Wednesday night, Philadelphia and Baltimore. We want to hear from y'all. Who's got the best team in the NFL? So that's going to be for Philadelphia and Baltimore. That's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern on next Wednesday night. Central time zone. Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee, we want to hear from y'all. Dame Lillard going to be the answer to get y'all to the finals. We want to hear from y'all at 10 Central on next week. Denver, y'all going to repeat. We want to hear from y'all at 9 p.m. because the Broncos sure ain't going to do nothing. And we all need y'all to do nothing either because we need that draft pick. And we need a high draft pick in the second round. And on the West Coast. Steph Curry, I got to admit, man, dude, still shooting the lights out. San Francisco.
That's right.
49ers, man. We want to hear y'all excuses. We want to hear y'all lies in the excuses. Why y'all top five teams in the league. Yeah, we want to hear from y'all, San Francisco, about the Warriors and the lies in the excuses about the 49ers. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Listen, when I talked about you and that Georgia Tech, are we going to talk about how Rob has about 35 different teams? Why do you have a Toronto Raptors hat and jersey on? What are you doing? What do you have
happening?
Oh, my gosh. I appreciate everybody for listening to this show. We'll holler down next week. But this dude, I thought my collection was crazy. That dude's collection is crazy. He just has Raptors stuff. The red Raptors. I like the old school dinosaur. He got on that brand new,
I like
the Color Rush Raptors. I see you over there, Rob. Go and get them.
It goes with my old school Jordans, man.
Well, Rob, I want to hear your I want to hear your prediction on the Jaguars hosting the 49ers.
Yes, Rob, I want to hear it.
You guys are looking at me with great anticipation on this one.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I said I struggled with the Saints and the Vikings. I'm also struggling with this prediction, too. To be quite
no, you're not.
With you.
No, you're not.
I'm struggling
no, you're not. Stop
too.
It.
But I can't see the 49ers losing four straight. And I mean, they've lost three in a row. I know they got to fly cross country in this game.
On a bye week.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. Both teams come off bye week, by the way. So
yeah.
Both teams
yeah.
have had that luxury here. But mm-hmm. I'm struggling mm-hmm. with seeing the 49ers lose four straight games. So I'm going to pick the 49ers by field goal, 20-17.
Damn right.
Look at him looking at the line. Oh, Vegas watching that. Yes, thank you. There's one right answer, and the answer is San Francisco not losing four games in a row. Listen, they got tired of hearing about it. They're tired of hearing about the Ravens. They're tired of hearing about the Eagles. They're tired of hearing about flipping and losing those three games in a row. I think San Francisco goes to Jacksonville, and I don't hate the Jaguars. Don't get me wrong. I need them not to be great in the AFC. But given what San Francisco has just had happen these 3 weeks and then going to a bye, I feel like they come out of this bye super hungry. Jacksonville's like, yeah, we got this division. You know, like Houston, they're cute, but we got this division. San Francisco's like, hey, man, we got to go back to when we beat on Dallas. Everybody thought we were the best team in the league. We got to get back to that. And that's probably been the talk in the building for 2 weeks. So I'm going to go with San Francisco in this game by 10.
And that's probably about,
there's no secret, though. I want the Jaguars to win the game, though.
Yeah, I know you do.
49ers, that's probably about what it's going to be. It's probably about a 10-point victory, I would think. I am rooting for the Jags, but I'll tell you what, if for some reason the Jags win, then we will be talking about the 49ers, whether or not they're even going to make the playoffs at that point. Next week, that should be a topic.
That's not going to happen.
Because if you look at,
that's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, if that happens, you need to say, we'll have to be talking about that.
Fair. I mean,
with
they have everyone knock out the
game. Schedule.
So, good call. I will say this: you know, they got they did make the trade for Chase Young. You know, they gave him a week to get acclimated with the defense, and that defensive line is hellacious. So now you add another. You know, you can talk about again what's happening with.
They've
him
been struggling
not,
to stop people.
You know,
the last
whatever.
Games, though.
They have been struggling,
secondary.
But again, you know, I think Chase Young has been. He's going to be a little fired up, man. So he's going to prove that. You know what they traded for. So you know, obviously. Say what you want, but that's just kind of what I feel. I think, they should handle business. I mean, I know it's kind of a scary situation, but with Brock Purdy and everything, they got the time to kind of get off. You still got Christian McCaffrey, you still got Weapon, you still got Kittle. You know, I mean, the defense is whatever. Brandon Ayuk is playing his ass off, so now's the time. All right, last game, we got the Browns and the Ravens. And again, same thing. I think the Ravens are just light, you know, like we talk about. They are playing really well. We can talk about how great the Browns defense has been playing, but you know, again, it could be competitive a little at the beginning, but I think the Ravens are going to, you know, obviously run away with that because, you know, I don't know who the hell's at quarterback at this time for the Browns. It doesn't really matter.
Yes, you do.
He's back. I'm joking, damn it. You know, we don't even like Deshaun no more. Just saying. Go ahead.
Listen, this
hey,
is not going to be
a blowout.
I don't think
it'll be
a
either.
No. This is going to be ugly.
Divisional
old school
game.
AFC North football. Yep.
Divisional game. Cleveland still upset that Baltimore left to go to the original Browns left to go to Baltimore. I mean, these two teams hate each other. It's going to be a physical, nasty football game. I think Baltimore wins 23-17.
12-5?
Well, 23-17, I would be shocked if it got to 23-17. I was thinking more like 17-13 Baltimore. And I think it's going to be ugly. It's going to be knocked down, drag out, like you said. The difference is Lamar Jackson is playing at a better level than Deshaun Watson is. I think that Cleveland defense is really, really, really good. And if Baltimore was playing as well as they are at defense, we would be talking about the Cleveland defense every day on TV the way they talk about the Baltimore one. So that's all I was like. 40 total points is a lot for those two defenses. unless you get to Gary's point, a turnover,
I get some
a big special teams kind of play.
Baltimore,
yeah.
13-9.
Yeah, it's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be hard to watch.
I thought I was like a really low scoring game, just like something like or something like that. Going back,
yeah, yeah, it's gonna be hard.
Completing 71% of the passes. I think that's a career best for him.
Yeah, but that Cleveland secondary is good, and outside of some blown coverages against Indianapolis here and there, I hate to talk good about them. Either one of them. I hope it's a 0-0 tie, but I just think the Ravens win this game with the way they're playing right now.
Absolutely, agreed.
Go ahead, and then let's wrap it up because I know we got to get this going here. So any topic y'all can pick, and we can wrap up the show. We can call it a day. You know, I'm adjusting this, man. So wrap it up.
Whoa, there. First the hair and now the gun? Come on, man.
It's a BB gun, man.
I don't really. Go for it, Rob.
No, I said Andre getting violent on us over here.
Go ahead.
The one I would talk about, I mean, because I think sometimes it's a little early for the NHL and the NBA, Otani's wow because of his elbow injury and the mess would be dumb not to extend Alonso. The thing for me is the Justin Fields situation in Chicago because I believe he's coming up on that fifth-year extension and you got to make a decision on him. And that dude is not playing bad in place of him, but I don't think he's still Justin Fields. But the longer you hold him out and say he can't play and you keep losing games and you get closer to the top of that draft where we're talking about the Drake Mays and the Caleb Williamses of the world, what do you do, Chicago? Because they got their pick and they got Carolina's pick as well, who's also playing awful. They could, in theory, have 1-2 or 1-3 in there. Do you move down? Do you extend Justin Fields? Or do you take that money that you need to spread across the rest of the roster, you give it to Justin Fields, and then do you come back and regret that if Caleb Williams or Drake May come out to be those guys? So, to me, it's really interesting to see what Chicago does if these losses continue to mount up and you're still not necessarily in the building sold on Justin Fields. What do you do with those top picks in terms of these quarterbacks that are coming out and how you organize that roster moving forward?
Hey, I can tell you that. I can answer that question right now.
What would Fields if you traded him? If they traded Fields, they got a high pick. They picked the quarterback that they wanted. What could they get out of Fields? Could they get a second-round pick out of him? Could they? What could they get?
Maybe. Probably realistically a third round. You know, everyone's value drops after they're drafted, right? I mean, after they're played in the league for a while. Even though it was a first-round pick, he probably at this stage won't go for a first round. You might have to trade a second round for him, but you might can – trade him for a third rounder. What did Dallas trade for Trey Lance, the fourth rounder?
Something like that.
Obviously, Justin will go for at least a second or a third. Trey Lance hasn't done nothing in the league. Justin has showed a little bit. But I think to answer the question on the Bears here, I think as we know Justin Fields right now, they would draft a quarterback. Now, if he comes up back and plays lights out, then they got an opportunity to add a Marvin Harrison Jr. and to give Justin Fields another weapon, right? And maybe add another piece to the overall roster, right? So, but I think as we know Justin Fields now, they will probably be drafting a quarterback with one of those picks. I mean, I posted the top 60 on our Talking Sports page, so top 60 updated players. I actually got Marvin Harrison number one. And he could very easily go number one if the Bears or Arizona gets that number one pick, depending on how Kyler Murray looks when he comes back. So, you know,
they got Carolina's pick too, don't they? Does Chicago not have Carolina's pick in that trade?
Yeah.
Carolina. Yeah. Don't they have the pick? So they can get that pick from Carolina being awful. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, they get one and two, right? If it looks like that, right? It looks like one and two.
Yeah.
Right now, Arizona and the Bears are one and two because of the Carolina pick. Absolutely. And I think the Bears are number three with their own pick. If I'm not mistaken, so I think they're 2-3. So I got that Marvin Harrison is the number one prospect in the draft. Doesn't mean he's going to go number one, depending on who gets the number one pick. Caleb Williams, 2. Drake May, 3. Brock Bowers, 4. We talked about Keon Coleman earlier. I got him number 5. Alu Fashanu, offensive tackle, Penn State. You get to see him against Michigan. I got him at 6. Dallas Turner, number 7. He's the edge rusher who knocked Jalen Daniels out of the game, even though he should have probably been ejected. But that's not
true. Oh, yeah,
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. JQ's favorite QB, J.J. McCarthy at number 9. Chop Robinson, edge rusher from Penn State, number 10. We talked about Penn State and their draft picks. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama,
Kool-Aid.
Number 11. And Jared Verse from Florida State, number 12. I'll skip around a little bit. Rome Odunze from Washington at 14. Edge rusher from UCLA, Latu, if you can say that name 10 times. Edge rusher from UCLA. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU, number 16. Let's see who else we got on in this list. Another LSU wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., number 25. Kalen King, cornerback, Penn State, number 29. Denzel Burke, cornerback from Ohio State. I got him at number 32. Xavier Worthy, cornerback, Texas, number 33. Got Bo Nix at 36. Got Shedeur Sanders at 37. We got Michael Penix Jr. at 38. Got Jaden Daniels, number 43. Cameron Kitchens from Miami, number 46. And Quinn Ewers got him down to number 51. But the rest of the list you can see on the board. It's on the Talking Sports with a 12th man page. That's updated top 60 prospects.
Nice.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Appreciate that.
Always.
Appreciate that. Hey, I was going to say, Rob, Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders, so they're not leaving until 2025, both the brothers. So Shiloh and Shedeur aren't leaving until 2025.
He's still draft eligible, so we're going to include him until we know.
He is.
Sure,
yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely understood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still early.
And he's
like
still wrong. Can do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely sure. But
yeah, that's true.
You know, but and I was going to say, it's funny because y'all were making fun of me when I said that Marvin Williams would be – or not Marvin Williams, Marvin Harrison would be going number one. Damn, Marvin Williams. That's some bullshit. Now we look at Caleb Williams as I'm playing that well, but it is interesting to see what's happening in that situation too. But
you played well against
Washington,
though. You had a big game. You really
lost. That's what I was saying, but you know, it's still one of those things, and that's interesting about the Gary. You're talking about that. It's interesting about the Bears situation too, because you know, obviously, Bajet is saying all the right things. I'm kind of outside of the, you know, looking in to see what's going on, because damn it, I would give up a second or a third round pick for Justin Fields to bring him home. That's probably the best case scenario. Montez Sweat wants to come back to the Falcons, so. You know, even though he got screwed out of that deal with the Bears and the Commanders. So we're looking at another opportunity. Did they fucking – what the hell? Did they really sign into that?
Yeah,
that
5-year extension.
That just happened?
That happened a few days ago, man. You late. Wait, man. He obviously fell in love when he beat this pizza up there, man.
Man down.
Hand down, man down.
Damn it. I thought they said that he didn't work on that. Okay, shit. All right, well, I'm going to walk away from that. Okay, that's all I got for y'all. Peace out. Damn. That's all I got. That's pretty messed up. Go ahead, man. What else you got, man? What you got, Gary? Go ahead, man. I'm done with this.
I got nothing. I'm done.
I'm done.
Fuck that guy.
They really did the extension with this?
They really did, man.
No, I'm
okay.
Saying I totally missed that. Okay, shit. 4-year extension.
A couple days ago now.
No, I didn't get a chance to check that out until when I was looking at this. Yeah. Okay. Damn.
You found it?
You definitely.
You know, Rob's up on everything. You know, Rob's really up on everything, and I kind of think he's got one of those desks like George Costanza had, you know, where he could go underneath his desk and take a nap and maybe get on the internet and look some stuff up. Rob, is that – you got a George Costanza?
No,
yeah, I give Rob credit. Yeah. I'm not trying to say, like, you know, again, like,
on my phone,
you know, boy's not paying.
So he got a 4-year, to be exact. I said 5 years.
Yeah, I see it.
He got a 4-year, 98 million.
Yeah, I see it. It's a 4, 98 million, yeah. Now, granted, my only excuse is like, you know, I couldn't, man, three events this past weekend, I've been like DJing.
But you know what?
Man, it's been crazy.
I had a feeling that they probably had something worked out for them to make that trade.
100%, because he's the last year of his deal. But if you're the Falcons, to your point about getting Justin Fields, they gave up that second-round pick to go get him from D.C. So can you tempt them and say, hey, if Justin Fields is your guy and you believe in him like that for Atlanta, they're looking to recruit that second-round pick, right? So if you were willing to do that for Sweat, are you not willing to do that to go get Justin Fields, right? So, I mean, that could be in the offing if it comes down to that. If the Bears take a quarterback and it's like, how do I get the second-round pick back? Atlanta's still there for him.
I hope so. We'll see. Yeah. It's a very
– you know, we still got a lot of football to be played this year. I mean, we don't know where Atlanta's going to be in the draft, but, I mean, this is the quarterback-loaded draft, too. So, I mean
– oh, bro, they get to play Carolina again. They get to play Tampa again. Yeah, man, they ain't going to be high. They ain't going to be high enough to go get them one of those quarterbacks just in where they fight.
Well, I mean, they probably won't be high. They won't be high enough to get Drake May or Caleb Williams, but you – might be in the J.J. McCarthy conversation. You can possibly be in the, even though I dropped some of these guys down to a second-round grade, they're probably going to still go in the first round. The Bo Nixes of the world, the Michael Penix Juniors of the world, the Jaden Daniels of the world. So you might be in play for one of those guys, either in the first or the second round.
I tell you what, if they draft J.J. McCarthy, I won't go to a Falcons game again.
The Bengals draft Michigan players. You still go to their game.
I hate that shit, but he ain't J.J. McCarthy. Ask him.
Like I was gonna say, what if they drafted what if the Bengals, what if Joe Burrow got hurt and then J.J. McCarthy had to be the quarterback? That shit would be hilarious.
Okay, you know what? All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all next week. We're done this conversation.
Oh, man, don't be wishing somebody you hurt, man. Come on.
I don't wish him to get
hurt. Yeah, man, I'm not.
I just wonder, like, if you had to, like, go for a Michigan player, like, you know, would that be the case, man? Would you actually be like, oh, man, the Bengals, man?
That's the conversation we're not having at 12:17. Because I would have to pray on that, get some rosary beads, some holy water. Like, I would need a whole bunch of things. To make sure to get myself around that.
Rob,
so, yeah, no.
Rob hates Duke, yet he loves Zion Williamson at the time. So that shows you, like, you know,
not
again,
sure about
the whole.
Oh, at the time, yeah, I was happy about it. I'm not sure if I love him now, but
he hates Duke with a passion.
I hate Alabama, but once they come play for the Saints, man, they're like, hey, I'm wearing a jersey.
This guy, see,
I'm definitely wearing no goddamn jersey. I might say in class they make a big play, but me spending my money on them, have their name on my back, that's just not happening. So, no.
I still have my Mark Ingram jersey.
Mm-mm. Nope. Wow. No, no.
Wow.
I'm going to give me offensive lineman or some shit. I'm not doing that. No.
That's funny. Again, let me stress this. I'm not wishing anyone to get hurt. I love Joe Burrow. I hope he does well. He's playing well. So I want to make sure that's out there, too. So I wasn't saying anything from that perspective, too. So, but we'll see how that plays out in the next couple of things. Man. So it's going to be a good week of football. Be safe, guys, for the weekend, like I said. And appreciate you updating the page, Rob, too. It's been a crazy, crazy week, too. I wanted to hear your thoughts about Chet and, you know, Victor. So we'll come back. Hopefully we'll save that for next week because that's another spicy topic, if you will. I know Rob and me and JQ. It's been an interesting situation, man. So we'll come back to that next week.
I mean,
because,
it's early in the season, but he's got the slight edge over Wimby so far for rookie of the year.
Uh-oh.
Long season.
Right.
Long season.
Yeah. Long season.
Well,
all right, gentlemen. See you guys next week.
Rookie season with an asterisk by it, so.
Yeah. He missed his old
Arthur Smith, maybe. Good.
Arthur Smith, what?
No, I was just going to comment. He must be secretly going for the Falcons because we keep losing, so he's trying to get us a higher draft pick. Go ahead. What were you going to say about?
Oh, no. I was just echoing what Jerry said. Technically, Chet was supposed to be a rookie last year, but he missed the entire season. So that's the only reason he's considered as a rookie this year, because he didn't play at all last year. But, yeah.
It was funny. Marcy was watching, like, who's that skinny guy? He's about to get broken. I'm like, yeah, that's what JQ kept saying all last year. I was like, that guy looks like he needs. I was like, well, Kevin Durant was skinny too, but that's a whole other different skinny right there, man. That dude was like,
both are very skilled, skinny big men because Chet can handle the ball, he can shoot it, he's blocking shots.
Right.
It's the new age NBA, man. These 7 foot skinny dudes, man, they're just handling the ball, shooting it from all over court.
We'll see. All right.
Edge right now, if you don't mind me asking, why do you give Chet the edge right now?
Well,
he's not scoring
numbers.
As many points. He's got one less rebound, same block, same assist. Why do you give Chet the edge?
Well, I've had a chance to watch both of them play. I guess I really hadn't looked into the stats that detail like you have, but other than the one game when Wimby scored 38 points, I thought Chet has been a little bit more consistent so far.
Chet over Wimby
is
no
name. A long-term talent. There's no question about it.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Chet
don't get
JP
Rod.
Yeah, no,
I'm not saying long-term. Right. I'm just saying so far this season. I definitely take Wimby. If I had my choice in the draft, I'm taking Wimby.
Okay, thank you.
There's no doubt.
All right, I'm out of here, y'all.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Good show, as always.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.